And then let's pray into the present. So what I want to ask you, if you are married, maybe just take the hand of your spouse, if you feel comfortable, and just say, Lord, we just bring our marriage before you. Ons sit dit net voor die voete neer. Of ek, Here, ek bring my vrou voor die vanoggend. Ek sit al voor die voete neer. And then let's pray a little bit wider for our children and our parents. Let's take a moment to bring before the Lord some of the key relationships that He has placed around you. So, bid vir daai kind sommer op die naam. Sê, Here, ek bring my seun, sê sy naam, voor die troon, seën hom, Here, beskerm hom, lei hom. And let's pray through our children for a moment and through our parents. And then let's extend our prayers a little bit wider. Let's pray for one or two friends that your heart are drawn to at this moment. And bring your friend voor die Here. Maybe you're just reminded of a friend that's really in need of prayer right now, that's going through an immensely hard time. Just bring them before the Lord and pray that the Lord will cover your friend in His grace. Then let's pray for a moment for people that maybe the Lord has brought over your life that has started to become friendly with you, but they do not yet rely on Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so let's extend our prayers in that way. We ask the Holy Spirit to also use us in the opening of the eyes or to lifting of a veil in someone's life, that they may also come to know about the joy, the love, and the life that is in Jesus Christ. Let's pray to the outside. Amen, everyone. My house shall be called the house of prayer. Amen. What I want you to do this morning is to turn to your friend and tell them. Most of us are older. Just tell them about a friend. Like, where did you meet this guy? Did he grow up down the road? Was he in school together, university? Just share the name of a friend. And typically, why do you like that person? Because this morning, we're going to go to friendship. Go for it. Awesome. All right, so this month, the month of May, we're going to move into Relationship Month. We've got some incredible things coming up. Relationships, and specifically marriage and parenting and children, is a big part of life. That's why you are here, okay? Even if you are not married right now, you are here because at one stage, two people came together and you were made, all right? And so it is very important for us at least once a year as a church to stop and really speak through some of these very important things. Now, what this means is some of the topics and some of the sermons might be very applicable to one group of the church, but not so applicable for everyone. What we want to ask you as leaders is just to remain patient with us. One of the charges and one of the jobs of those who oversee a church is to make sure that the full buffet of God's heart for life and love is put on the table in a church. So what it means is every now and then there might be something that's important for life, but it might just not be your season where it's that relevant for you. Please be patient with us. Is that okay, everyone? What I do want to encourage you is to take that message and take it to your own relationship with the Lord. And for example, maybe you are a widow and you've got small children. If a message is preached and it's on children or on marriage, please take the next couple of months to specifically pray for your grandchildren and pray for your children that are married. And so whatever the tools are that's placed on the table, try and yield it in your life. Amen? But now this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a topic which I believe and hope and pray is relevant to each and every one of us. So I'm going to start this month with friendship and go really wide. And then from next week, we're going to launch into Relationship Month, which would be more romantically inclined and parent and the area of parenting. Does that make sense, everyone? Good, good. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. That's an odd scripture to like get the morning going. Just try and tell that to your wife quickly. Just turn to your wife and tell her, better is an open rebuke. Like some of your wives, they don't mind rebuking you. They're like, yes, that comes very naturally to me. Can you see? Scripture says it's good. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend. What does Scripture have to say about friendship? Actually, quite a lot. Some of it directly, and some of it is between the lines. But I want to tell you something about friendship. It's not good for hype and publicity. I mean, people are not looking for who's the new friends in Hollywood. They're like, who's marrying and who got divorced? Who, you know what I'm saying? Like, people are interested in romantic relationships generally more than who's buddies, all right? And so what I understand is one of the few movies that did well on friendship, you don't find them a lot, was actually Lord of the Rings, which is mainly a movie, if you think about it, of friends going through a difficult quest together. But friendship is not as marketable as other dramatic relationships, but it's very important. So first, what I want to do is I want to take a couple of minutes and talk about how friendship gets formed. And it's a little bit unique to other relationships. So the first thing I want to say is friendship is discovered, and then afterwards, it is forged. Okay, the word like a blacksmith that's making something. In one sense, it's easy to discover common interests. It's easy to discover someone that you really like and become friendly with. But it's a different thing to forge a friendship. And so the number of people in the discovered zone tend to be quite a lot, but those on the other side of forged, they dramatically less. You're down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right. Now, let's talk about the origin of friendship, how this works compared to one or two of the the types of relationships we have. We must understand that God is a Trinity and has been existing in a relationship with Himself, Father, Son, and Spirit before the foundation of the world. Therefore, relationship is at the core of who we are, all different types of relationships. And if we study ourselves well, what we want and what we need, we see traces of the Trinity in us. But friendship is different than romantic relationship and is different to family, okay? You are not, where friends are discovered somewhere in life, in a family you are born into, right? You are made. I guess when you are really, really good friends with your children, you could say, I made you, but that's odd. Your family is different because they are stuck with you, all right? And therefore, they will care for you and hang around you, and they will love you, but they might not like you. Now, that might seem strange, but sometimes we feel like that about family. I mean, you ask my kids. They love one another, but they can fight. But you know what? Tonight, they will sit around the table, and they will eat and maybe sing a song together because we are family. And let me tell you something else about family. Family is your responsibility. Now, it is a responsibility that sometimes we are tempted to neglect, but it is not good for your social status. Can I explain that? If I decided I do not want to be friends with my wife anymore or take care of her, you know what will happen to me, for example? I will lose my job. Because it is expected, never mind of a pastor, of a man to love and care for his family. All right. So some of us, when we get older and we get sick, guess who's there? The family is there. I love my parents. I do. But let's say I do not care for them. That would reflect very badly on me. Why? It is my mom and it is my dad. So family is actually very needed as a fabric in our society. Now, the sermon is not on family, but let's start there. And that's why the marriage is so important. It is a net that undergirds a society and keeps, it's supposed to ensure that every child that went out to play today has a place to go back to where they can eat and be loved, receive a hug, a warm bed and sleep. Okay, the fabric of family is very strong. Supposed to be very strong. So guess what? The enemy is causing all type of weapons to come against family to break it, to say, nah, it's not that important. It's not really need to look this way or that way. Whatever he can do to break family, he'll try and send that weapon on the way of family. But you are in a family and there's a part of a responsibility in the relationship. Right. Friendship is different. If I don't like you, I'm out of here. All right, like it's like Yasi May Pani, okay, of Yasi May Froni. So what are these demands you're making of me, okay? So with friendship, a friend that sticks around is a friend that wants to be there. It is a decision for some other reason. Something has been forged over time that when everyone else deserts you, maybe your family is still there. Regrettably, they're like, they must be there for their public relations. There's this friend. Why is he here? Because a friend has been forged over time. Very, very unique and a very special part of relationship that we have access to. But the thing about a friendship, if it's only discovered and stays shallow, you will not have those who stick around to the place where only family stick around. Those friends, they need to be forged. Okay. But first, they must be discovered. How are friends discovered? A little bit different than family. You're born into family and also different to romantic relationships. In a romantic relationship, you discover. The discovery is in the other person, okay? You see that person, and you know what happens? You become light. You become like a feather, and you kind of float in the room, right? And then when you look away, you don't float. But when you're like, When you look, you float. Why? Because you are seeing something in another person of the opposite sex and it causes you to float. And it is them you want to discover. Okay, and so when you take them out to dinner, you look at them and you float. The chair floats, okay? And you maybe go to the restroom, you come back to test if you will float again, and you look and you float. And now you want to discover that person. It's a face-to-face relationship. It's also discovered in that way. When they're not with you, you go click on their WhatsApp profile picture, because you've long deleted Facebook. That's bad. It's not that. So you click on the Facebook, on the, messing with my head. Stop laughing here, Amanda. You click on the WhatsApp profile picture, and what happens? You float, because you are looking at them and you're like, could this be the one that I should pursue for life, love, and marriage? And we all, most of us, know that feeling. It's a great feeling, right? Friendship works different. You don't discover friendship by looking at another person. It's more discovered in when you are standing shoulder to shoulder and you look at the world, that you see the same things and look at them from the same angle. Like, you also see that that way. Can we go grab a coffee and talk about this? Look, if you then go and click on your male, if you're a male friend's profile picture and you float, there's something wrong there. We will pray for you. But friendship is discovered side by side looking at the world. You also like this. I thought I'm the only one. I thought I was alone in this. And then we connect. We discover that there's something that we look at. Does it make sense? Right, that is discovery. Now, when you are younger and you are in high school, discovery happens at a rapid pace, because like everyone that wants to play rugby this year, will you guys please go to the main hall right now? Boof, that's an announcement. Then everyone that's interested in rugby is there. Like die wat hierdie jaar wil koor sing en op die koor toer gaan, everyone is there. And so discovery happens at a rapid pace. Wherever you, where your interest takes you, there's a group of people. That goes less and less when you start to work and you don't have a lot of time. University, crazy. You've got this union, you've got that union. Everything happens at a rapid pace. And so you are in discovery mode. You also discover maybe romantic love in university, but you discover friendship. In a res, a lot of things matter, your course size, né? To the whole bunch of you. So you've got like 30, 40 people that wants to win this rugby game. 30, 40 people that wants to get this right at the res. But then only those which you nurture and forge, okay, after 5, 6, 7, 10 years, 20 years remain. Okay, so there's two phases in friendship, discovery and forge. Does that make sense? Now, we're going to go to the forged part today, because scripture actually helps us with that. Let's do it. I want to read for us 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Okay. This build each other up, encourage and build up. Then Proverbs 27 says something a little bit different. It says, as you bump against one another, there is a sharpening. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know what that is? That is friends going through the forging part of friendship. Now, if I don't have an interest, if we don't have that revelation of interest and togetherness, like I'm not going to allow you to constantly cut against me and bump me. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not in the... Okay? First, there's discovery, then there's forging. And as time goes on, if you forge one another well, you've got a friend for life. Now, I've got two tools here this morning. Just make sure that I don't break a keyboard or something. Okay, so I want to leave us with two metaphors to take home and work on when it comes to friendship. Because you know what the truth is, these principles can also be applied to marriage, right? But I want to challenge you actually to take it beyond. Because I'll explain to you why it's important that your wife, it's not healthy if your wife is your best and only friend. It can be a pressure on her that's not hers to carry. This is a hammer, and with this thing you build. Now, yes, especially with the back part, you can like take out nails that shouldn't be there and extract something. But mostly when you see someone coming with this, they're putting two things together, or three or four or five or six. They're erecting something. And so scripture says, encourage one another and build each other up. Now, we're just touching on it right now. We'll go deeper. But already here we see an invitation of someone having access to you in a way that causes you to be more assembled as time goes on. Are you with me? Right. Okay. What we also see, we'll have better scripture reference for the acts. There's times when friends will shape one another in a way where it's not the building or the encouraging of something that's great that one should see more of, but where there's a taking away. Okay. And this thing is very helpful if, for example, something in your garden grows in a way that it can bring destruction to the house. Okay. Sometimes die bome is op pad reg uit. And this is where the car uitkom and the car is scraped and the takke and it's net a gemors. And so sometimes you need to bring this thing. And if you yield it in the right way, you will not lose the tree. But you will lose the facet that might cause harm to the wider part of your home. Are you with me? All right. And so in friendship, scripture tells us there's a place for building, and there's also a place for challenging and taking out. Now, the more we forge one another, the more it means that there's times when we are exposed to one another, and that's not very comfortable. And so it's one, in one sense, one almost wants to stay clear from forging, okay, from so many fields, because it's painful. But the challenge is, after 20 years, you want a couple of great friends. So now, how will you handle it? If you're going to stay clear of the pain of real friendship, you might only have your family there at the end. You see? Which is great if you have a family. You know what? Some people don't even have a family. And so friendship is God's gift to the church to help us build and extend our families. Let's go on. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, it says, preach the word, be ready in and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Now already we can see what a problem can be here is some of us, and we are made in different ways. Some of us, we're good with us in friendships. We're good. We know how to build and uplift. We know how to encourage and console. And we also know how to accept this in our own lives. But from this thing, we run like crazy. If anyone comes near with this, jy is geblok op WhatsApp, papi, jy is uit. Like we're running from this. But you know what? Oddly, some of us are, and it is not the majority, are very comfortable with this. Very. They don't mind getting down to the heart of the matter very quickly. Often too fast for you. All right? But they're very comfortable with this. But now what the scripture tells us is we must be able to wield both tools. And to receive both. Even though we might have preferences in our personality. Are you with me? All right. Let's go on. Let's look at Jesus using the hammer. Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed are you, man." We mustn't read too fast. Jesus asked Peter who he is. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus builds him. He says, "Blessed are you." And let me tell you something. What you just said came from God. What does it mean? You hearing him, Peter. You've got access to his voice. Well done, man. You are blessed. He's building. You know what Jesus is going to say in about a couple of minutes to this man, right? We're going to get to this. Because we can see that Jesus knows both how to build and how to take out. Okay, but we'll get to Peter and Jesus again in a moment. Thessalonians 5:11, I believe we just read that. Encourage one another and build each other up. Romans 15, each of us should please our neighbor for their good to build them up. All right. And there's more. Literally using the word build in friendship, but for time's sake, we'll just stop here. A couple of ways. How do you build in your friend's life? How do you do that? Here's one or two ideas. Firstly, we need people to build, and for lack of a better term, our personhood. What do I mean by that? There's these accusations always against us that there's something wrong with us from the enemy. You're not as great as that person. You should be more like this. You can't sing as great as that person. You're not that great. You're not as healthy and wealthy as that person. We're constant living in the world, a world geared at making a profit out of you, is constantly showing you what you're not and what you don't have. And so what we need very basically is friends to tell us that who God has made us to be and what he has granted us, it's good. And then there's a sense of peace that comes over us. And you know what we do? When we are there, we can drop the pretense and become a great friend. But that's a function of the hammer. Like people in your life, like allow those full of the Lord to acknowledge those things that the Lord has placed in you. It's part of, I want to say, your created matter. It's how the Lord made you. Most people are scrolling and running and living on the internet looking for this, looking for a validation, looking. So in one sense, as a church, we need to take our lives, we may be online, but we need to take the deep end of our friendships offline and come life on life. Building into your personhood. Then also, practically, you need someone to build with you. And I'm not talking spiritually. Well, everything we do under the Lord is spiritual. But I'm talking about very practical. Your business, your skills, your vaardighede, your graad, your ervaring. When you don't know the Lord, you're running on the talents he gave you, but you're running without a compass. You know, you like, get something's right, something's wrong. You haven't learned. You've learned how to employ people, but you haven't learned how to love those you employ. Okay? You've learned how to make a profit, but you haven't learned how to not be greedy. Okay? I'm being upfront. You've learned many tricks because, you know, the Lord has made you well, but you need a brother to come and build with you in your world. Yes, you're doing so well here, but this is God's. God is the great architect. He says this about business. He says, I think you should structure that contract that way, because in that way you are protecting your employees, which God has entrusted. Now there's a biblical vocabulary that comes in. I don't have workers. People have been entrusted to me. God has sent them to me for a reason. Okay. Some of us, we are working in a place where we're not enjoying it. We need someone to come and help us. Maybe there's a reason why the Lord has placed you there. And so let your brother help you build into your endurance, into your faithfulness. And so these are very practical things that friends can help you with. Now, your wife can and should help you, but you're also talking about the children. Also talking about your budget. You're also talking about the in-laws. You're also talking about your dreams and fears. And so it's so good when you have a friend that knows how to come and build alongside you. Very precious. And I'll tell you what, in our world, very rare. very rare. It is the place where mankind is more connected than ever, yet lonelier than ever, and the most suicide rates ever. Okay. And so there is really a place where we need to take our lives into one another's living rooms and be friends life on life. A part of building is then also building spiritually. You need a friend to build spiritually into your life with you, helping you grow in the Lord, helping you grow in prayer, helping you grow in your mission. You need someone you can go to say, listen, this is what I sense the Lord is telling me. This is what I'm drawn to. What do you see? And give them the hammer. And so the question I want to ask this morning is, to whom should you give the hammer in your life? Now, you might say, yeah, but they know they've got access, but be more intentional and give them access. Invite them over, tell them, listen, you've been a good friend to me. I'm sorry that there's been times where I haven't always said it, I haven't always been as available, but I just want to tell you, can I give you this into my life? Right, access. Okay. If we can go one slide back. Let us consider it, how we may spur one another toward love and good works. Okay, so what we have there is we've got agency, we've got intentionality. It's not life just happens as we church. There's a place of booking it, making an appointment, writing it down, doing it. I want to give you access. No one likes to hear what they do wrong, but never hearing it is worse. So I feel you are a safe place for me. So here's access to my life. Does that make sense? The hammer. All right. Who should you hand the hammer to? That's one side. It's to exhort and to build. But the other side is to reprove and rebuke. And here we come to the axe. Goodness. It's not our favorite relational way of spending time when the axe comes in. But let's talk about it, because as painful as it might be for a moment or getting acquainted with your own weaknesses, oh, the growth is just incredible. You know what? People want therapy, but they don't want to be coached. Everyone has a therapist to affirm their thoughts, to affirm their ideas. But people don't really want to get coached out of their wrong ways of thinking. And it's the baseline of Christianity. Renew your mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, all right? And so God wants to use the Holy Spirit to take things out of our lives and bless us. He uses scripture, he uses your spouse, but he's also given you friends. Now, the powerful thing about your friend is you are not paying for their accommodation for a place to live in, as you are with your wife or with your children. Like, you've got no hold on them. Like, if you bring your employee to you to tell you about your faults, you are bluffing yourself. They're only going to tell you the great things, because I know what they want is a raise, okay? But a friend is a good friend that's also willing to expose themselves, but to say, listen, this is going to be hard for you to hear, but it's coming out of my heart. On the other side of that conversation, you've got growth. But I tell you now, this is not for the 10 or the 20. You're talking here about two or three friends. It's going to be too painful. You've got 20 people phoning you, telling you how bad you did. So it's like, yeah, another one. Block. I do want to tell you that when it comes to the axe, we're not living in a time that naturally leads us to invite the axe. We are living in a time where it is celebrated to tell everyone how you have been wronged, how you have been discriminated against, how you have never been listened to, how hard it is for you to be white in this country, how hard it is for you to be black in this country, how hard it is for you to be. You see, the enemy has many ways for me and you to put ourselves in a place of, this is my reason for not succeeding. While God has given us friends to help us out and succeed, but we have to not partake with the world in victim Olympics because it's not good for growth. This thing asks of us to have a kind of a strength in us relationally, a bietjie van 'n dikvel. Because what if your friend comes to you with the best advice that anyone was willing to give you, but you're not willing to hear him out? What if you are willing to hear him out, but he also has his words wrong a little bit, because he's also human? Are we willing to invite the act, the part where things get taken out of our lives without it hitting a trip switch and we put our walls up? Because that will be the place where true friends are forged. Listen, friends are discovered under the starry skies, but they are forged in the trenches. But the thing is, if our whole life is to stay out of the trenches, we will be a man with many companions, but not friends that turned into brothers. All right. Does that make sense, everyone? Now, that being said, there is a wrong way to yield this thing. Like, don't come with this thing like, I don't know, some other creature in a horror film, because what's going to happen is you're going to get blocked on WhatsApp, okay? And no one likes to be blocked. Who's been blocked before? Yeah, Anto. Yeah, who's blocked other people? Yeah, you see. I want to read this quote. There may be found some who rebuke the failings of their neighbors or their friends. Can we go to that next one? There may be found some who rebuke the failings of their neighbor or friends rather in bitterness of hatred than out of charity. And this is certainly not according to God's will. So what it means is this thing can be wrong, used in the wrong way. Okay, so what we must watch out for, what you must watch out for as you forge a friendship, is don't hit your friend on the head with this thing and then say, I'm just being honest. One friend less. They might smile and hug you, they're gone. Because this thing is not supposed to take off the neck of your friend. It's supposed to help them like a surgical tool. And that's why the Bible actually, that's why Jesus says those who are the best at yielding this in friendship, the acts, are those who've also struggled with their own sins in their eye. The one who has had like a struggle with sin in humility, die balk en sy oog, and has gone through the process of asking forgiveness, acknowledging sin, having the pain of growing, when they come to you, they know how hard it is. So they come with humility. Now, everyone whom you discover in friendship does not know how to forge a friendship with you. And so the numbers will go down, and that's natural. Like, please don't go out and tell someone, you know, you're not even my friend, except your die zone. Like, all I'm saying is it's natural that the number of acquaintances in the trenches are less. Because those are the ones to whom you, jy sit die appel op jou kop en jy gee die geweer. Okay, not really, but you're giving them an axe. Okay, they have access to the soft parts of you that can hurt. Now, it is very important that your wife is not the only one with this thing in your life. Okay, firstly, have you seen a woman with an axe? It's gevaarlijk voor allemaal, binnen een radius van 10 meter en voor hulleself. Okay. Now, I know I'm offending some of you because I'm sure some of the ladies in this church can proper outcap. We can outcap. Wees voor ons als beef. Also, yeah, maybe if I'm going to lachen op. I'll tell you why. She may have also an axe, but she's also your lover. She is your support. She is your protection and your protector. Now, there will be times, because she can see parts of your life that only she can see, there will be times when only she can speak to something. Okay. But the full complement of growth in your life should not rest on your wife alone, because she's your wife and your family. And cut her a break. Okay. And so when you have friends, they actually take you forward for your benefit and your wife's benefit. All right. So she cannot be your main person of love and your main driver of growth alone, although her role is big. So let me share a story that really happened. A friend of mine, he doesn't live in this town. So dis nie een van julle, moenie begin dink jy is jou buur of so nie. The person next door was like really had this dangerous front yard, because there was like grinding and cupping and spikers, and the children would play in the street. And so of course, like, my friend felt this is not the way to do industrial works in a residential area. And so they of course got angry over this issue, and they were fighting with one another. And at one stage, the authorities came. Police had come. And then another department said, this is unsafe for children. This does not belong in a residential place. So the person was forced to clean up the front yard. And there was grass again. Then a couple of weeks after that, his wife confronted my friend over the wall. So he thought, oh, shucks. Now it's battle number two. But here's what she said. She said, I just want to thank you, because it's taken me years to ask my husband to clean up the front yard so the place can look nice and be safe for children to play. Now, as humorous and comical as that is how it is with life. Sometimes our wives nag us about something, but it's actually a friend that needed to get there and to get it done. So wat ek eintlik sê, vrouens, julle moet julle mans laat golf speel en vis vang, dat hulle kan regte vriende maak. Die gas. Capitec 17718. Okay, we can go to that next slide. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Okay, watch out for those who kiss you in public. Watch out for those who praise you in public, because you may be going through the wrong door or down the wrong path. Okay, I'm witnessing this many times on social media. Someone in church, or that used to be in church in Secunda, Cape Town, everywhere, would write something on Facebook stating their faith, but also showing and explaining how they're going to do something unbiblical. And then at the bottom, you've got the kisses of the enemy that comes in. You've got Christians liking, this is God, praise God, like really? Because here's the thing, a true friend will never use this thing in public to shame you. And so when you go to Facebook, you're only going to get the likes. Here and there you've got someone that doesn't mind. They'll come and say, hey, it's not for your cop off, okay? But it's very rare. Mostly, if you're going to go to a place like social media to be affirmed on what you want to do, you're going to get it. But watch out. You might have just taken the axe out of your life. And you might find yourself down a road 10 years from now and be very sorry. So watch out for the kisses of the enemy. Those who like to say a quick word of encouragement, but they're not invested in your life. They're not on their knees for you. They want you to like their comment back. All right. So what I'm saying is there friends that's got access to the parts of our lives where it feels a bit like a wound? Now, when we don't have it, when we only allow people with the hammer that can only encourage, but no one can take away, we go and put this thing out of our lives. We start to surround ourselves with yes men friends. Whatever you say, great idea. Yes, yes. Because here's the thing, to yield the axe also take courage. Sometimes we say, I'm not going to tell that person the truth because it's going to hurt them too much. no, you're not going to tell them the truth because it hurts you too much. So who's going to do it? The two or three that has been forging a relationship with him. They will say, oh, I see everyone cheers. Objection. I'm concerned about you. And you know I love you. You know I've been there through the years. Just hear me out. Those are the true friends. Those are the true ones. And faithful are their wounds because it comes from faithfulness to you and not their own comfort. Now, when we only have the hammer and we don't have the axe, what happens is we enter into silos where there's echo chambers. We start to believe stuff and we go down the wrong road and it's got to do with what we believe about ourselves, what we worry about, what we fear about, but there's no one that takes it out of us. So it feels like a whirlwind. It feels like a whirlwind of never being pretty enough. It's a whirlwind of never feeling that you do well enough. And those things echo against you, and it will continue to echo until you let true friends in to help you get it out. So it can be very dangerous. And here is where you have to take a step of faith and hand the axe to someone and say, I cannot tell this to many people, but what I want to do is I want you to, if you see something, just come to our house, come spend time with us. If you see something, please tell me, because you know what? I really want to do well, and I know that I want to grow in this or that area. Does that make sense? Okay. Almost there. But if we walk in the light, there it is, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Hey, everyone needs the axe, come on. Everyone needs it. It's not just you. It feels only like you because if you look at social media, everyone's traveling to Bali. Everyone is smiling with their six-month-old baby. You want to throw the baby out of the window, 3 o'clock at night, but they're just happy. Everyone's doing great. Everyone's always makeup. But I'll tell you what. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. All is not always well at home. Even the best, we put it up. So the question is the truth in us? Is there an axe in my life helping me? C.S. Lewis said the following. I didn't have time to read this in the first service. In each of my friends, there's something that only some other friend can fully bring out. By myself, I'm not large enough to call the whole man into activity. I want other lights than my own to show off all these facets. And that is why one cannot allow your wife alone to journey with you into sanctification. You need other lights. You need others. Does it make sense? Some people, they look from a different angle and then they help. So what do we do today? I mean, what does it mean for us? Let's try and get very practical. And also, this has been quite a topical message, but I want to bring it to Jesus and have him weigh in on this. Firstly, I want to just acknowledge that we do live in times where it's a little bit harder to have the friends our heart needs because people move around so much. Like, who have you moved here within the last 5 years? That's quite a lot. That's about, I almost want to say, 20 maybe a little bit less. And so what happens is sometimes you forge a friend and you're like, man, you're really growing and they've got the axe and then they move or you move. Sometimes you forge a friendship and then they die. They go on to be with the Lord. Sometimes you forge a friendship and then she marries and she moves. And so it's part of our world today. That's one of the reasons why we must often be busy with making new friends and opening our hearts. The other reason, which is a little bit more crushing, but it's very important. Okay, so this is me bringing the axe, okay? You can decide whether you open up. One of the other reasons we don't have the dearest of friends is because we're not always the friend we should be. Isn't that true? We're not always ready to be ready with a hammer or with an axe. We're not always accessible. And so I think one thing this message needs to do is to also think about inviting people into your life, giving them the hammer and the axe, but also think about picking it up and to help one of your friends, to become the friend you want. And where do we go from here? We look at him, where Jesus writes to his friends. He is the greatest friend a man can ask for. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. A greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. At one moment, there was a moment when Jesus told his disciples, he said, I no longer call you servants, I call you what? I call you friends. And then just a testament to the type of friend Jesus is. His friends, they drop him, they forsake him in his moment of need. He asks them to pray with him in the garden day sleep. He goes to the cross, he carries the cross up a hill with a stranger. His friends forsake him, deny him. And then what he does is he gets crucified with open arms, as a sign of commitment in friendship. Come back here. The most faithful of friends, waiting for those who forsook him to come back. And so what that means for us is two things, at least, is that you might not have many friends, and it's God's will for you to have friends, but you've got one. If you open your arms as his arms are open, and come with your heart and carry it to him. You can move wherever you want to go. People can move away, but there's one that will remain with you, the best of all, Jesus, your Savior, the friend of sinners. But if you come to him, you can never have true friendship with him if he may not wield this thing. If he cannot chisel, if he cannot build, your friendship with him will never be that of friends that goes deeper into a friendship of brotherhood. And what that means for us is we must come with our sins and show it to him, confess it, and invite him. That's the first thing. The second thing is when that happens and we go out of his presence, well, not he's always with us, but out of our time of communing with him, we leave as better friends into the world. Because that what he teaches us goes with us into our friendships. It all starts with the Alpha and the Omega. Let's stand this morning. I want to ask some small group leaders and facilitators to come to the front. We want to pray together this morning. If you guys can step out, I'll really appreciate that. Just take a deep breath and just want to ask you, what is the Holy Spirit laying on your life this morning? Maybe some of you here this morning, maybe you still have a heartache because of a friend that left to be with the Lord. Maybe that friend was also a spouse. Maybe some of you here are excited about phoning up someone. Maybe the Lord is just speaking to you in practical ways in how to get closer to him and be a friend that knows how to build with the hammer and the axe. But first of all, I want to pray for you this morning if you are longing to be with the best friend there is and pick up your relationship with Jesus again. That's my agenda, my not-so-hidden agenda, is to give an opportunity for everyone that wants to connect again heart-to-heart with Jesus and to pray with you and to minister to you and to feel yourself just experiencing a warmth of a friend again, the one. So let's close our eyes this morning, and believers can pray in the Spirit. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to draw people to Himself this morning. Let's just pray in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I just want to acknowledge your presence here, the one who introduces people to Jesus. I just want to welcome you in this place. Jesus, I want to thank you this morning that once you opened your arms, you never closed them again. They remained open for sinners to come near and be friends. And this morning, Lord, some of us here maybe have sensed rejection in this life, has gone through seasons of rejection, and we just feel there's something in us that just thinks that's how you relate with us. But this morning, there's an invitation for you. It doesn't matter if 10, 20, 30 people have rejected you. There's one who's inviting you into a relationship, Jesus Christ. And if you want to respond to Him again, before we go to the next layer of friendship, just put up your hand where you are standing. So that's me. I want to respond to Him, to the gospel. Thank you for that hand. Be very bold. Just put up your hand and say, that's me. I want to respond to Him. When you come to Him with an open heart, He takes you with open arms. I want to ask you to take a very big step. Those of you with your hands up, when I count to three, will you quickly come to the front? We want to pray with you, and we can only locate you if you come and meet us. So if you'll be so brave, take someone's hand next to you if you want to. One, two, three, and quickly step out. Let's give these people a clap. There's already people moving. Someone's going to pray with that young man over there. I can get a male facilitator this side. Chris, thank you so much. The greatest moment in a person's life is when they meet Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. Let's pray together this morning, just as a prayer of recommitment to the Lord along with these people. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I stand before you this morning and I commit my life to you. I come to you with an open heart because you can see. You know every sin, every disappointment, every hurt. I give everything to you. I repent of my sin. I repent of not serving you. I repent of not loving you. But I change today. And I repent. Today, I call you my Lord, my Savior, and also my friend. Thank you for accepting me and leading me. I commit to reading your word. I commit to praying and following your word the best I can. Fill me right now, Holy Spirit, and give me the power to do your will. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. What I want us to do this morning, I want to formally dismiss this meeting, but we're going to hang around in front still. We want to just pray with you. If you've got any questions, hurt, or like a friendship matter that you want to pray through.